Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to the final episode of Brimstone.
Yay!
Or I'm not so excited. I know, it's sad, but I'm excited.
This is going to be a good one.
I'm in my brand new Crescent City pajamas. This is not sponsored. I just got these for $10 from Livco. I was like scrolling through the stories and it was like, we have one pair left. And I was like, mine.
Wow.
They're mine. Yeah. So I got the last pair. I'm so grateful. I really like them. But I want to know, you mentioned the last episode, you had something fun to drink. And I want to know if my fun to drink beats your fun to drink. So what do you have for us today?
Do you want to take a guess?
A different flavor of energy drink.
You're never going to guess.
Do we get the same thing?
I don't think so.
On the count of three, lift up what you have.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, one,
two, three.
Oh, wait, hold on. One, two, three. What, is that a glass of milk?
Chocolate milk.
Girl, what?
You knew you were going to be like, what the fuck? And then you pulled out, I knew you were going to pull out wine or something.
It's champagne!
You're like, do we have the same thing? And I was like, no.
I thought you were like, I bought champagne. I was like, yeah, girl.
Absolutely not the same thing. Full just cup of chocolate milk.
Wow. Yep.
Can I just say, I haven't had chocolate milk in years. It's been literal years. Like, we never keep chocolate milk in the house.
I don't think I've had chocolate milk in a long time.
But I want you to know I bought a 2-gallon, right? Because I was like, that looks great. Haven't had chocolate milk in forever. Let's go for it. Because we're trying not to drink as much pop. And in turn, we've been drinking a shit ton of wine. And so I was like, what's another thing that we like that's not one of these two things? So I pulled out chocolate milk and I was like, you know what? I didn't really like it before. Maybe I like it now. It's been a few years.
Yeah.
Come to find out, I don't know. I guess I didn't know this about Drew. Maybe I did at one point, but it's been years. Man drank half the gallon the first night I had it home.
My God.
He like,
is he okay?
He like chugs the cups that he pours. And he's
that's
like,
really gross.
He's like, you cannot keep chocolate milk in the house. He's like, it is the one thing. Apparently, he used to drink gallons of milk after a workout in baseball.
I mean, that's a way that you can recover for like protein and calcium. And I don't know. Okay, whatever floats his boat,
isn't
I guess.
Weird?
It's weird. I don't like it,
isn't
but
that weird?
Sure.
So
that is really weird.
This will be the last time we have chocolate milk in our house until our child is old enough to want chocolate milk.
Oh, good.
Because I've maybe had half a cup besides this one, and it's 3/4 of the way gone.
Wild. That's insane. This cork is weird. I don't know what to do with it. I'm so nervous right now.
Can you twist it?
It's like a plastic cork. Yeah, there's a little metal thing.
You, like, twist it?
Yeah, I brought a towel.
Good idea.
Just in case.
I can't open bottles of champagne, so I'm no help to you.
You put the towel over it, right? Like,
I would hope so.
Oh my God. If this is so, I'm so nervous right now. I'm so stressed. I'm a wrapper up.
I love drinking champagne. I just cannot open champagne.
Hello?
It terrifies me. Don't shoot your eye out.
I'm so scared right now.
Don't shoot your eye out, kid.
I'm so fucking scared right now. I should have just got a bottle of wine. I think it did something.
What?
Three times and I got nervous.
Did it open? Is it open?
Yeah, it opened. It's open.
Okay.
All good. You're a really brave person.
Except for when it comes to bottles of champagne. Which
are you
brand
fizzy?
Did you get?
Okay, so funny story. I actually won this on a cruise ship when I was pregnant.
And you haven't drank it since?
No, I have not.
Oh, you
I've
were
been
breastfeeding.
Saving it for a special occasion. Yes, and then I breastfed for my whole fucking life. What felt like years. No, but thankfully, I am free now. So yeah, I don't know. It's whatever this brand is. It's called a Brute. Sometimes people in Brimstone are brutes. It's fitting.
Sometimes.
Every once in a while. Oh, it's very fizzy. So I did look up, like, what does it mean if the champagne's gone bad? Because I guess that's a thing. Looks like it has not, though. Such a weird fucking cork.
That is very weird.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Your fucking glass of milk, you weirdo.
It's not that bad. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a nice little celebratory bottle of champagne.
Maybe that I'll was a whole bottle experience. Of champagne
later.
Let's do this shit.
Let's
Welcome
do it.
To the Goodish Girls, guys. My name is Dallas.
And I'm Cass.
And this is our final episode covering Brimstone. It has been a wild ride. There are so many theories, so much lore, so many questions, and some maybe answers. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But this is a spoiler series, so please make sure you have read all of Quicksilver, the bonus chapters, because I've asked you 100 times. Do it. But please make sure you have read Brimstone as well. Here we go. Chapters 45 all the way through 52. Let's do it.
Here we go.
I know. Here we go. Here we
this
go.
Is it.
All right. Chapter 45, Redemption. Mm-hmm. Things have calmed down for the moment, but Fisher is still missing in action. The plague bags are finally coming back in a full circle moment, and Carrion addresses his people with wisdom and grace. Saris also has an aha moment. So we talked about this in the last episode about like Madra using her guards as feeders. So this is where it like really goes into detail about it. And it says the dawn light glinted off burnished golden armor, the very same golden armor that had started all of this, which is, I would not take that in any other way but being a guard for Madra.
Yeah.
So I still have the question, why is Madra using her own guards? Is something happening with that? But again, I just want to put that note in there since it's full circle now.
Right.
The plague bags are back. We talked so much about these fucking plague bags in our coverage of Quicksilver.
Yep.
And now they're finally here. So the plague bags, if you don't remember, way back in book one, they are a little bag strapped to the side of you that are filled with the ashes of sacrificed people as well as Madra's hair. We do not know if the hair needs to be replenished every couple of years or how we get the hair from Madra into these bags to protect them from the plague that supposedly the Third Ward has, but they do not. So that is the item that they need of Madras to try and build the ward.
Mm-hmm. I go back to this being like a true cult. And I know we talked about this last episode as well, where you were like, that doesn't make sense, though, because she needs to expend these people. And why would she want to get rid of the people that are doing her dirty work in her city?
From a business standpoint.
Right. Business Madra. But I still feel like the city of Zelvarn is just a large cult.
So my question is, with a cult, I've never been in one. So I don't know. I don't know much about them. But what I do feel like I know is that.
Are you sure you haven't been in a cult?
Maybe. No, I don't have time for that. They want my money. I don't have any of that. I won this bottle of champagne on a cruise
ship. Sometimes they just want you to sacrifice your life, you know? It's not always about money.
I do have other plans, actually, so I don't have. I can't do that either. But my point is, Cassidy, that in a cult, you're looking to the leader of the cult, right? Which would be Madra. Mm-hmm. However, usually the cult itself is looking to a higher power, right? Or a different power or something above, right?
Not always. It could be for a greater purpose, too.
And then how does that go in with her talking about the Fae and the magic all the time at the Evenlight festivals? Where does that play in?
Well, she talks about how the Fae are coming to, like, steal their children, steal their lives. The Fae is bad, which is a cult thing, right? You're manipulating them. And then on top of that, the greater purpose would be, if this is truly her sending these things, these rotted feeders through, that she is probably finding some way to end the Fae world to start anew. So the greater purpose would probably be a new world, which 9 times out of 10 is what cults go for. Whether that be, we're dying and ascending to this new world, or we're going to create this new world, whatever.
Is that your official theory for Brimstone or for book 3? Is that Madge is running a cult?
I think it's part of whatever the frick is going on with Bellicon, with Malcolm, with all of them. I think that's her part, is creating a cult so that she can pull that magic from all those people and keep them in control in that sigil that they live in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very possible. I don't dislike your theory by any means.
Just seems kind of culty to me.
Does seem a little sketch. My theory is that Madra is less involved than we think. Either she's super, super involved and like a really big thing, or she's a demon god. I still like that thought that she's a demon god.
I don't think and so I, on that.
I also like the thought that she's not involved at all, because her name is said so much and it's so obvious and it's so in your fucking face that it's not her at all.
I think she's playing a part of whatever's going to happen. I don't think it's all her person.
Yeah. And again, the moment she sacrificed her guards, in my soul, I'm like, that's not right. I don't think she would do that.
That's fair.
I don't think she would. So we learned that Ceres can just create god swords now, which I think we like kind of knew, but also I didn't think it would be so easy. But now that her Quicksilver room is sealed, now she can, right? But also, I don't know, can she just make it for anybody? Like, is it just who Ceres deems worthy of the god sword?
That's a good question. Or can she decide not to still?
Yeah.
Can, like, her rune just not light up?
Right. I don't know. I have a lot of questions about the fact that she can just, like, pull a god sword out of fucking thin air. So anyway, she makes one for Tau. It's named Tarsarin? Tarsarin.
Yeah. Means redemption. In what language?
Not Redemption's Dawn.
That's Lorith.
No, Redemption's Dawn from Lorith is Abyssiv.
I know. It made me feel like I just was saying red rum, you know? Red rum.
You're silly. It's red rum. The chocolate milk's getting to you.
Do you know what that is? Please tell me.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know red rum? Red rum.
Is that a type of liquor?
My God.
Oh, my God.
You need to watch The Shining.
I can't actually say I've ever watched it fully through.
Well, you're going to. I think you would enjoy it now based on the things you enjoy reading.
Probably. I know some things of the movie.
Yeah. The little boy, he keeps saying red rum, because he saw it in a mirror and it's murder spelled backwards, red rum.
That's actually really clever. The kid,
like, doesn't really talk. And then he just starts chanting this thing and it's murder like red backwards.
Rum. Gross.
Yeah. Like the voice I'm doing, like red rum.
You know what I have a problem? I have a problem watching horror movies with children in them now that I have children. And sometimes those children show up next to my face while I'm sleeping and I can't.
Yeah.
So I don't know if The Shining is good for my mental health.
In The Shining, there's twins standing at the end of the hallway.
Yeah, in the hallway. They're holding hands, right? Isn't there like, here's Johnny. Like, isn't that from The Shining or is that a different movie?
That is. Yeah, good job.
Yeah. Okay, I know something. Yeah, I don't know if kids, like, anything with, like, children being weird, I can't. Because, she shows up and she's, like, right here in my face. I'm sleeping. So,
that's
I don't know.
That's scary.
Or, like, when you're sleeping and they start climbing into your bed. You'll know soon enough. Don't worry. And you're going to be like, oh, my God, where did you come from? Well, you'll know. So, back to it. Mm-hmm. I feel like there, again, and I feel like I've said this so many times, there are things that we just slept on or, like, skipped over so fast in this book. Mm-hmm. And you know what, something that we skipped over so fast is that Inishtar was bombed during the feeder issue that they were having. Everyone's fighting these feeders. Everything is crazy. Everything's wild. Zofina's dying. Tal's upset. Everybody's mad. It was bombed. And not only was it bombed, it was bombed in specific locations. What it says, it says, the explosions that rocked the hillside during the battle had caused untold damage. Inishtar's healing center and its town hall had been targeted. The cause of the explosions were still a mystery, but the locations where they took place, well, the reasoning behind why those buildings had been chosen was obvious. Without a town hall, it was harder for Inishtar's people to gather and regroup. Without its healing center, the injured populace had nowhere to go to receive help that might save their lives. Why is Inishtar so important now?
I think it's important because they're there now, so you're feeling like it's important, but that doesn't make sense.
Right. Why would the bombings happen at the exact same time that the feeders happened?
Right.
I feel like we just slept on the fact that they was bombed. Like, nobody worried about it.
Yeah, I read right over that.
Right?
Read right over
Why was it bombed? Who did this?
Another piece of information that happened in this story that I didn't catch.
Well, do you want me to read it to you at 2x speed and see if you understand? We know that Ceres, they've been holding information from Ceres. So Lorith finally tells her, like, some of the things, right? And she's like, oh, I understood. It was an impossible plan, a terrifying one. I needed to hear it, though. Without knowing what I knew now, I would have never been able to put it out of my mind. Mm-hmm. You know when she would have also thought that? If Kingfisher told her.
True.
And Lorith is the only one.
Yeah. I love Lorith. So I'm always going to be he's perfect in everything that he does. But I feel like he is somebody who has, like, a deeper connection with Ceres than the rest of the group. Like, in the beginning, I really felt like Ren was going to be that person. Ren goes fucking missing for this entire book.
Yes, so that was not on my bingo card.
Yeah. But I feel like Lorith and Ceres have, like, a brother-sister relationship.
Yeah.
Maybe the one that her and Hayden should have, but they fucking don't. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Yeah. Another interesting take for Carrion in this chapter is that he has a new name, the Forgotten King.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his new surname? Carrion Swift, the Forgotten King?
No.
The Dianthus heir?
I was like, no, he has real regal surnames besides the Forgotten King.
I wonder if that will stick. So, and obviously, as we know, he says, my name is Carrion. Nice to meet you all. I really like your horns. So Ceres has an aha moment. And I am going to be honest. It took me a couple reads to be like, what the fuck is she talking about? Mm-hmm. So my eyes caught on a bird pinwheeling down towards the ocean. And the second I saw it, it struck me the memory that had eluded me earlier. It had been right there, a millimeter from my fingertips. It was so obvious, gods and martyrs, how stupid I'd been. Now she knows how to find Fisher.
I didn't know.
You know now, though, right?
Yes, but when I read it, I had no idea what she
was talking
about.
Even in the reread, I was like, hold on, what memory? I don't think she said anything about a memory. No memories here.
Mm-mm.
But if for those who did not catch it, she's talking about the first original stargazer that followed her out of the library and died on impact, I guess. On impact immediately. I don't know how that works. On impact of leaving the ward, and was shoved into her pocket because it was then put under the Kingfisher, which will come up in other chapters.
All right. Chapter 46, break. The Hazraks follow Ceres into her dreams. Creepy. Ceres still sucks at making bargains, but somehow then uses it for good to get what she wants again.
Girl's a problem solver. So before we get into any of that, though, more Danya and Carrion information.
Mm-hmm.
So there it's Ceres obviously confronting Danya to like punch her in the face, right? So she can get knocked out and go into dreamland.
Mm-hmm.
Before she says it, though, Danya says, if this is about Carrion Swift, you can relax, little Osha. I don't have any designs on your friend. Not long term ones anyway. And this, I think, again, tells us that their relationship and their time together is more than just sleeping together. I don't know. I still stand for Danya.
When don't you?
I do still stand for Danya. And I am still angry with how she acted. But I also like that Ceres not necessarily called her out and gave her a little bit of her own truth, but was she's like, you're still angry. I get it. And you're angry because you let him, like you let Kingfisher go and all these things. But like, he would forgive you. You have to forgive yourself, essentially. And like, he doesn't blame you. So I hope that Danya takes that to heart. And like, maybe the next book can, like, she can go on her healing and arc journey.
Yeah.
And then when Ceres is in dreamland, the rot is there, right? The rot is in the dream and the rot is real in the dream. And we know it's real in the dream because it can absorb the power that she uses on it. So it's wild that it's literally everywhere, including in dreamland. For her. I don't have an explanation for that. I just thought it was wild.
Yeah.
And then there's also...
Sorry.
It's the milk.
Yeah, it is, honestly.
So there's more rune information. And with this rune that the Hazraks gave her, I like that she saved Onyx because I love Onyx, right? But I feel like she could have used this specific rune for so many other things, right?
I'm so glad you said this because I really thought you were going to be unreasonable and be like,
but I'm never unreasonable.
I really thought we were going to have a fight at the end of this and you were going to be like, no, she 100% should have saved Onyx.
Yes and no. Yes, for the most part, because I hope that Onyx is something more important than what we know of next book.
Yeah, but why would she use that rune? I don't think that's what the Hazraks was talking about when he gave it to her to use.
Oh, really? You think there was three things that he didn't know?
I think that she used it at the wrong time. I think in the future, there's going to be another point where she could have used that rune and she's going to be like, oh, fuck. Well, I don't have it
multiple
anymore.
Times. Multiple. Yeah. We know this, right?
Yes.
Because in the dream, she like used it against the rot, right? Like to like.
Yeah.
And so also she broke the oath between Kingfisher and Bellicon, and she acknowledged that she could have broken the guy's bonds. And she's like, I'll figure that out at a different time. There's another way. So like, we know that there's times now where she could have used that rune and she chose not to.
Shaking my head.
So it's interesting. I don't know. Yeah. So like, even in it, it says she's like, you know, the rune, he said it didn't give me magic. It gave me an ability. And she's like, if I used it on the door in the dream. And then the Hazrax's rune tingled briefly and the rot that encased the door crumbled. It had been thrumming with the power a second ago, admittedly. So she used the only power so far that has not been absorbed by the rot. She literally in her, if I was seeing it correctly and reading it correctly, she literally has a source of power that actually can go against the rot, used it, and then sacrificed it.
Yeah, because she's dumb.
And there was no witnesses, so no one was there to be like, that's going to cure the rot.
She needed somebody to be there because she's acting a little dumb.
That was my one of the things I was like, girl, what the fuck are you doing?
That's a big thing.
You literally have a cure.
Yeah. That's a big thing on Book Talk that they're like, is this a joke? You're joking, right? Like, everybody loves Onyx, of course. But like, really?
I don't know. If Onyx would have died in that book, I would have had a really big issue.
What was she thinking, though? You can be sad about that she needed Onyx dying. Well, she doesn't need Onyx as much as she needed that goddamn rune. What the heck is Onyx going to do for her?
I don't know. We'll find out book three. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have answers for you, my friend. I don't know. But all the things that could help are now gone. Mm-hmm. So, more Hagsrax lore. Because you know that I love to talk about this weird-ass creature thing. So, here is another mirror description. It says, the Hagsrax hovered by the bed, its hands tucked firmly inside its belt sleeves of its robes. Do you know who else was described as possibly hovering or floating?
Adina
by Archer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's related, but I think that it's an interesting mirrored correlation. Mm-hmm. I just want that to be noted. And it says, he says, I am welcome anywhere, Saris. Do you forget so quickly that you and I have a deal? The deal, and she's like, the deal was for you to observe the blood court. And I hate to break it to you, but the blood court doesn't exist anymore. So you're going to have to find somebody else. So she's like, you got to go somewhere else. But then we realize that her bargain is not what she thought it was. And he is not bargained to watch the court, but to watch Saris herself, because his thing was to watch Malcolm himself. And I want to know how much shit he knows about Malcolm. He knows everything. I mean, he knows everything anyways, but like he truly knows everything about Malcolm. Mm-hmm. So I would be really interested to see his thoughts on that. And he also says, he says so many interesting lines. He says, of course it does. I have a hand in everything, but you will learn that soon enough, I suspect. What does that mean? What does that mean? Also, he can defy gravity, change weather, put out suns, and has a hand in everything, can see through everything, including another oracle's eyes and multiple other people's eyes, but cannot bring Kingfisher back to Saris in this moment. It's not within his power. I'm sorry.
But
what?
He can transport her out of the dream world with her sword that she doesn't have to a different fucking world.
He's like, that's not in my power. Are you open to the truth, Hagsrax?
Is it because Fisher is encased in that thing?
How is that he not more powerful than that tree?
Well, because it's not a tree, remember? It's a witch.
Right. It's not a witch. It was created by the witches. It's an obligarch or whatever it's called.
Yeah, they were witches, weren't they? They were witches,
the witches
that were fighting the other witches.
Yeah. It's like their prison.
They turned them into it. Yeah.
So, yeah. Maybe? I just don't like it. I don't like it. He says, within my power, I'm afraid. But then she like tries to ask him for a favor, right? Because she's like, I don't want you watching me anymore. And it says, the Hagsrax shivered as though the magic that bound our agreement were trying to force it to comply. I'd never seen anything like it, a being capable of denying a bargain even for a moment. At the end of this episode, we're going to take a vote on what we think the Hagsrax is. I need an official one because I'm like struggling. So back to our aha moment for Saris when she sees birds and she's like, aha, my memories. The memories were the missing piece of paper that were placed underneath the Kingfisher statue, which is Adina's favorite statue. And she finally has a paper which says some really important information that is Kingfisher's full name. So thank goodness we found that. So off she goes. And she's like, actually, I don't want you to stop watching me. I need to transfer me to the Wicker Woods. Okay. And then you know what? This is where one of my theories half came true and I want credit for it. My original theory was that Kingfisher and Carrion would go through the Wicker Wood to find Carrion's goddamn boot with a missed opportunity that we didn't find his boot in this book. But they did go back to the Wicker Woods. And I feel like that's a win.
Is that really what you wanted?
Yeah.
For her to go back to the Wicker Woods?
I wanted Carrion and Kingfisher to go to the Wicker Woods together as they were traveling to Zelvarin.
I know, but do we really
want to
go back?
And then find the boot. Yeah. Yeah, we kind of do. We do anyways. We don't have a choice.
Unfortunately.
Because in chapter 47, we are there. All right, chapter 47. Chapter recap. Once again, the evil villain tells us his elaborate plan for so long that he misses moments where the good guys seize the moment and win. Fuck you, Bellicon. And also, hello, Kai.
That's a pretty good recap.
It's a pretty good one, right? I think the bad guy says all the things that he's going to do as normal while the good guys are like, talks, haha, he's distracted.
And he talks. And
yes! He talks. You're too late. It's too late. You're all going to die. And then they're like, JK, bad you. Can you imagine if she would have opened this piece of paper first thing with his name?
No. Do you think they would have gotten married?
No.
Because that was like the main reason that he was like, when you get married,
that's true.
You have to have, and I don't know my real name. She's like, well, it doesn't matter anyways. But I think if she would have found it earlier, do you think she would have been like, we should get married?
I think if it didn't include the tools to save him, yes. I think if it just would have been his name, sure.
That's fair.
But because it was like, here's his name, here's how you're literally going to save his life, I don't think she'd be like, let's get married.
Right, right, right. But
otherwise,
I feel like if it wasn't in this moment,
maybe
it would have been
any other moment for sure. Yeah. Yes, definitely. So another question that I have is, so the Hazorax was in the dream. He then transport them both to the Wicker Woods, God Swords included. Everybody's in the woods. The Hazorax is like hiding behind a tree. I'm sorry. Is not Bellicon, the other Orias, anybody not see this motherfucker just floating by the tree? Can probably, only Sarah see him?
They probably think that he's like one of the spirits. And what do you do in the Wicker Woods? You don't fucking look around.
I mean, okay, fair, fair, fair. But I was like, does no one see this man just watching?
Mm-mm.
I was like,
what
the fuck?
Gift.
Yes, visibility. So, another weird fucking thing. So, it says, the Hazrax's robed form appeared suddenly in my field of vision, making me jump. Its eyes showed reflectively in the dark as if they were brushed with silver. Mm-hmm. Two things in this fucking paragraph that make my red flags show up. First thing, he appeared suddenly as if he was not there and he startled her. I don't think he walked up to her. I know he floats, but like, I feel like he would like float slow. I think that he is not really in the place that he is in. I think he is like materializing and can be in multiple places at once from a main location somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And also, why are his eyes shown like silver? Because the only other people whose eyes are shown with silver are those who like have either like the Kingfisher going through the portal, his eyes are brushed with silver, like people going into the Quicksilver, things like that. I thought that information was very weird.
Mm-hmm.
And he's watching all the fucking time and everybody misses him. I don't like it. I get your point in the Wicker Woods. I didn't think of it like that, but it's still, I'm like, he's just floating next to Sarah. Like,
he just
does little, like,
what he
robed
wants, you know?
Hands, he's like this. He's like, just chilling everywhere. A question for you. I feel like I know your answer. To see or not to see in the Wicker Woods?
Probably not to see.
You just like the sounds? Yeah. Let me remind everybody what we see in the Wicker Woods. A female who thrashed and writhed head tip back as he seemingly drowned and drowned and drowned. You know, I actually want the sight. I would like
Why?
The sight of the Wicker Woods, because just hearing all of these things and not seeing what they are is so stressful and scary to me. It's like hearing something in the dark and you're like, what was that? What was that? Like chains moving around, people screaming, people drowning. No, I need to see and be like, that guy's dying. Okay, that lady is dragging a baby. That man's on fire. Awesome. Let's move on. I want the
sight. Maybe this is because I'm a new mom. But that first line of a female dragging a dead infant behind her in the snow.
Yes.
I could not.
Very rough.
Look at that for now.
I don't think you would be a new mom in the woods.
At this point, I don't want to see. Any other time, though, I feel like death does not bother me, right? Like I've mentioned, I grew up with a dad in the funeral business.
Yeah.
I'm a girly who loves true crime. Doesn't bother me. Whatever.
Right.
So I would probably be fine. If I didn't
It's the
see
mystery
that.
Of it that would make me distracted.
But I am somebody, okay, when you get scared, like you're laying in bed at night, okay, and you get scared, what do? Like
I get,
you know,
sleep paralysis.
So like, no, okay. So like,
I can't move.
When you're like a little kid, right, and you're scared and you hear something in your bed and you're like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be safe if I do this. What is that thing that you do?
No, girl, we have different things. So sleep paralysis, I had it when I was really young, where I would get scared at night in my bed, or I would hear a sound or feel like I heard a sound or like see a shadow from a branch, and I physically could not move. I was stuck in whatever position I was laying in, and I couldn't barely blink. Like, I was literally stuck there.
So you can't close your eyes?
Sometimes. Sometimes I would just stare, and then sometimes if I, like, had them closed and I, like, heard a sound, I'd be like, okay, like, I'm literally frozen. I can't move my hands, my feet, my fingers, if I move at all. It was a weird thing. I didn't know what it was or what it was called until I got older, and I, like, grew out of it, thankfully.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's
yeah.
not how I thought this conversation was going to go.
I know. I'm telling you my secrets.
What I used to do and still do is I close my eyes and put my blanket over my head. But that's the thing. Like, if I'm scared, if I'm walking through the Wicker Woods and I hear a sound, I would be fine if I'm like, I can't see it. And if I can't see it, then I'm fine. If I'm just going to keep going. We're going to keep going.
That's
and
fair.
Nothing's going to happen.
That's fair. If someone would have turned the light on for me in my sleep paralysis, I probably would have gotten out of it. Which is maybe why I need to see in the Wicker Woods.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's very different.
All right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So a note about Bellicon. I know we don't listen to him, right? He says a lot of fucking gibberish. Mm-hmm. But he says one line that gets me. And the fact that the line is unfinished tells me something. They were talking, like, Saris was talking to Bellicon about how he killed all the alchemists.
Yep.
And Bellicon goes, is that what they told you? That I killed off your kind? You should do more research before. The fact that he wasn't like, yeah, I killed off your kind. So what? You guys sucked, right? Like, that seems very Bellicon-y to be like, to boast about something bad that he did, right? But the fact that he was like, ha, is that what they told you? Is that what happened? That right there tells me that that is not the true story.
So what do you think happened to all the alchemists?
Part of me feels like, yes, Bellicon is powerful. Yes, Malcolm is powerful. If Madra is truly there and she is truly the one doing all the things and the feeders, part of me feels like she is an alchemist. Part of me feels like she is an alchemist and she is one of those alchemists who wanted absolute power and immortality. And if that was the case, you can get that or achieve that maybe by killing other alchemists.
Yeah, possibly.
That's a thought that I have. Also, Kingfisher's like encased in this tree, like this aboulet, which is like, it's the definition of an aboulet is like a secret dungeon with access only through a trap door and a ceiling kind of thing. So he's really stuck there and he's becoming part of it. Mm-hmm. And am I the only one who in that moment was like, part of the ship, part of the crew, part of the ship, part of the crew from Pirates of the Caribbean?
I haven't finished those movies.
You didn't see even, I think it was one of like the earlier ones where like the dad is who's on the ship. He's like going back to the ship and he's like, part of the ship, part of the crew. It's like the saying, my God, my whole joke ruined. Ruined. I wrote that in all caps. I thought you would laugh.
No.
God. And you're mad
Girl,
that I watched a fucking Shining.
You
don't look at me like that.
Psychological thrillers. It's a psychological thriller, Dallas. My bad. Used
I
to be the only thing that you would read.
Fair. I just assumed that everybody watched Pirates of the Caribbean. Okay, maybe this is for our listeners then.
This
part of the ship, part of the crew.
Yeah, that is one movie that as somebody who works at Disney and loves Disney have not completed. And I know it's like a sin. Everybody always gets so mad at me for it, but.
Yeah, that's wild. Okay, well, guess what we're watching when you come over?
Oof.
Not heated rivalry. Rivalry. Blah, blah, blah. Not heated rivalry. You were correct earlier in your thoughts of like the fact that the trees were witches. So what it says is that he's like, you might assume that these were trees, but you'd be wrong. These are no ordinary trees. They were once a clan of dryads, which is another type of witch clan. So we have three witch clans that we know of so far. So it says they were self-righteous and arrogant as they were. They took it upon themselves to stand up to one of the northern witch clans. No one really remembers why. That doesn't matter. What matters is that they lost their feud and suffered the consequences forthwith. First of all, this coming out of Bellicon's mouth tells me that maybe they were not self-righteous and arrogant. Maybe they were fighting for something good. And that also, it's really important that we know why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we're finally getting to it now where you had said earlier where like the trees were actually witches, but they're not. Here's what it says. It says, you might assume that you are surrounded by trees right now, but you would be wrong. These are no ordinary trees. They are once a clan of dryads. What is a dryad?
Yeah. This is where I got it wrong. I heard the word clan and thought it was witch clan. But a dryad is from Greek mythology. They are nymphs or tree spirits specifically linked to oak trees. They possess powers over plants, influencing growth and healing, and can even transform into trees, but risk losing their identity if they stay in that form for too long. There's also a note that says, if the tree dies, so does the dryad.
So what Bellicon says, he says, self-righteous and arrogant as they were, they took it upon themselves to stand up to one of the northern witch clans. No one really remembers why. That doesn't matter. But coming from Bellicon, the fact that he says they're self-righteous and arrogant makes me feel like they're not self-righteous and they were not arrogant. And the reason why they fought is really important.
Yeah.
But that's all we know so far. And what he also says is what matters is that they lost their feud and suffered the consequences for with. The witches cursed the dryads and turned them into these prisons. They were damned to find no solace or comfort in the daylight that they worshipped, and instead were doomed to feed only on the suffering and misery of others. The witches transformed the dryads into everything they abhorred, and they still stand today. Fueled by the fear and the never-ending pain of those they house inside them. They keep their prisoners alive, you know. Their relationship becomes symbiotic. And then he says something that's also interesting. He says, these dryads are on my land. They exist at my discretion. They obey me in everything. And in return, I kept them fed. Yes, so they're on your land. How and why do they physically have to obey you? Is that something that the witches did?
That I'm not sure. But why? I mean, is he, well, if this is like a normal dryad, if they weren't fed, quote unquote, they would die, which then the trees would die. Mm-hmm. Is he keeping them alive for his benefit? Like, do they want to be alive or would they rather be dead?
Is there a way to even ask them? Would Bellicon even ask them? I don't know. I don't even know if he would care to even ask, right?
He doesn't care to ask. But
right.
Could
so
they die?
I think they could. And then when he says kept them fed, like how many people are in those trees? How many important people that Bellicon has killed over the years are in that trees, in those trees?
Yeah.
Is there someone else that's in those trees that maybe will come back later that they have to free? I don't know.
Good question.
It's interesting. So during this whole scuffle as well, Morel is brought up. And if you read the bonus chapters, you know the heartbreak that is the death of Morel. But she explains it anyways very quickly, right? Like not like this. Not like in the bonus chapters where you would get like the whole entire story, right? So Nye Morel means for Morel in Old Fae, which explains the name of Kingfisher's sword, Nymorel. So it's when they're talking about it, they're talking about how the fact that Bellicon will take the sword when Kingfisher is totally covered in the dryad tree, but he can't because it has iron in it, right? And Kingfisher had trained himself to deal with the iron so that way he could close the Agent Gate, which again is in the bonus chapters. So it's like talking about how like that can kill them. And it says he hadn't touched the swords without gloves yet. So that does go back on your thoughts in a couple episodes, though, about wearing gloves versus not wearing gloves and being able to touch the God Swords. I don't like that the God Swords can be used just if you're wearing gloves. It feels like not, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, I know we're wearing gloves and it's like protective, but I feel like with a literal God Sword, like one of the most powerful pieces of armor in the universe of this realm, you just gotta wear gloves. But like no other warrior, but you just have to wear gloves. I hate that. I love this book. I hate that.
That's fair. It is a little funny.
It is a little funny. So also, I don't know if you caught this or not, but I want to ask if we're saying hello to Belle and Mithin. And here's why. Saris is saying, she says, there was no voice in my head. And this is once she got the sword. That is the sword, Nymorel, which was a gift from the gods, which was a gift from Belle and Mithin specifically, right? Which, because Kingfisher's like their favorite. So right. It says, there was no voice in my head, no chiding from the small thread of quicksilver it contained, nor from the gods who had made it, nor the warrior who possessed it. The faintest smell of juniper tickled the back of my nose. I heard distant, playful laughter on a breeze that wasn't there. Okay, the smell, the breeze, and the laughing is what got me, and which is why I think that is an ode from Belle and Mithin, which are the two goddesses, Belle and Mithin, who originally one were split into two. The reason why I think this is because I went back through all of Quicksilver and
there's no like sign of what the scents are, right? But I also went through the bonus chapters. There's no description of morel scent. So I guess it could be morel, but I don't think it's very likely. But if you look at Adina's scent, she smells like jasmine. Because I was like, oh, maybe like Adina was around, right? Like her spirit is still somewhere. Mm-hmm. No. So I think that the juniper, the laughing breeze was Bao and Mithin saying it's okay for you to use this sword.
That's a good theory. I feel like that is probably actually correct. It makes a lot of sense. I went on
a really long journey to find the scents of all of these women that are like not super described.
I would have believed you if you wouldn't have looked at the scents of the rest of the women. I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. Fair. You're right.
That sounds right. Well, and I didn't remember what Adina smelled like, but I remember in the Fox of Boots address, the bonus chapter, I remember him describing the smell of Adina and that the castle used to smell like that. And now it doesn't anymore because she's been gone for so long. So I was like, hold on, maybe it was Adina and I didn't want to say it wrong.
Right.
So I think it's Bao and Mithin. That is my thing, right? Mm-hmm. So we now know that his name is Kaidan Graystar Finvara. The first time I read this, it took me a minute because I was so used to saying Kingfisher. And I feel like I've said that name literally thousands of times on this podcast alone, not only like talking to everybody about these books, right? That I was like, hold on. It's not that I don't like it. It's not that I didn't like it. It just took me a moment to accept the change. I didn't accept it as quickly as Saris did, okay?
Yeah. Book Talk agrees with you. Some people in Book Talk even go further as to hate the new name. But she really does it as a jump scare.
Yes.
Like we go from Kingfisher forever to that's not his name anymore. You can't call him that. This is his new name.
Right.
Here's his new nickname. It's Kai. Like,
yes.
Every time, it took me so long. And then they say it so much in the next few chapters. Mm-hmm. It's just,
which I think is intentional. Like, this is his name now. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's literally two full books of him being named Kingfisher.
Yes, but it's not like we didn't know this was coming. We knew that this wasn't their names. I feel like if we didn't find out his real name, I would have been really disappointed. Like, we've been talking about this for months.
Here's my question, okay? Because if when they get married, they give their real names, right? Is everybody else going by their real name?
No, I think it's normally a secret.
Right.
So normally.
Why, now that we know his real name, when everybody else in society goes by these other names and their true names are still kept like sacred and secret to them, why are we all of a sudden going to be calling him Kaidan forward when everybody else goes by their other names, which his other name would be Kingfisher?
I mean, he has the choice, right, to go by whichever. When he heard the name, he did feel it like in his soul, like that was meant for him, right? It was a gift from his mother, who is not there anymore. And then also, it's somewhat of a fresh start for him. The name Kingfisher, I think, goes with a lot of bloodshed and mistakes and errors. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is a part of him, but I think it is an opportunity to go on a new journey, to be a better person, to be a better Fae. I don't know. Maybe he just liked the vibe of it. It's okay if you don't agree. Okay. You don't have to agree.
I don't hate his name.
Yeah.
He'll probably still always be Kingfisher.
And I think he'll be Kingfisher to a lot of us. You know what I mean? Like, I think he'll always be, when I talk to people about Brimstone, I don't say, and then Kaidan or Kai. Like, I know it's there and I respect it and I like it, but I think that I will still reference as Kingfisher. But I would not expect, I don't know. I'm two ways in book three, okay? I'm way one where he's like, I am Kaidan, this is my name, this is what I'll be called from now on, and we just have to get used to it. Or are we going to get through everything and then, you know, someone's like, all right, Kaidan. He's like, actually, just call me Kingfisher. Hmm. Part of me thinks he might go back.
That's what I'm saying with it being a social thing. I don't know. I think it's a little weird.
For him to jump straight
to that name.
But he jumps straight to it in a very specific situation, right? Yes. He's talking to very specific things about like etiquette and gods and rites and things like that. So why not use the full power of your real name to be like, I am Kaida and Graystar Finvarra, and I demand a dragon, and I want to talk to this god. So when they leave, he might not stick with Kaida, and she might call him Kai, but others still might call him Fisher.
I don't know. I think it might be confusing. The next book.
I don't know.
Chapter 48. Folly, not fully. We get a jump scare for Kingfisher's real name, and Bellicon gets cut and cut and cut, and the mother effer still doesn't die.
Wild. Yes. In this chapter, I just want to say a line here that doesn't have a theory or anything. It's just good poetry. And it says, as it did, the lump of ice in my chest thawed and exploded like a newly formed star taking its place among the celestial sphere. I like those words all put together in a sentence.
What does it mean?
That's all. I don't know. I think it's the feeling of his name and being free from
being
the
released.
Oath.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it does like have meaning. Yes. I was like, oh, that sounds very nice put together. Those are good words. So that's all.
That's all.
This is where we learn again that when Kingfisher was taken by Bellicon, he was physically inside the Shadow Gate. Because he says, many new pieces of information took root in my mind at once. I had been inside the Shadow Gate. And I think, I don't have an answer for it, but I think that that is a very relevant piece of information. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. He has officially accepted his name, as we had talked about, right? Like, these are the thoughts that we have on it. But, like, he does say, like, I felt my name, like, I knew it was mine, all of the things. It, like, settled on him, like a perfectly tailored cloak he does. And again, the rune. The rune can literally break everything. It can break the rot. It can break oaths. It can break everything. It can break witch marks. It can literally heal and save. And it was sacrificed. I don't know. It's so stressful that she does
again,
that.
This is where I bring up, of course, she somehow has the answer to all the problems in the world.
Yep. I hate it. On another note, Fisher's shadows were interesting in this chapter. He says, my hunting. I never committed my magic with a mind to cause pain, but I sure as hell did now. Smoke and shadow tore down the male's mangled throat, eviscerating him from the inside out. He died in agony, robbed of the ability to scream. I like that. I like that they do that.
It makes me think of Stranger Things.
I knew you were going to say that. I literally knew that. I never even seen that show. I knew you were going to say that shit.
The rot,
it's like on everybody's brain right
is
now.
The upside down.
I don't know. What that means, but I believe you. But yeah, it's just interesting that we got a new, because he's like used his shadows to defend and things like that, but I don't know if he's actually used it to like fully
kill,
got somebody like that. So
yeah,
now we know. Question. How exactly did Bellicon cause Kingfisher's father's death?
Yeah, my question is, which father?
Right. This is the big question, right? He's saying this. He says, stood before the male.
Finish your sentence.
Okay. He says, I stood before the male who caused my father's death.
Is this one of the inconsistencies?
Because seen this one as one of them?
Because this woman has Kingfisher talking constantly, right? Like, his father took Carrion through the portal. His father did this. His father did that. Bellicon killed my dad. End of the book shows up. Hey, where's dad? Can you go get dad so I can talk to him?
Right. Exactly.
Is this an inconsistency? Why is he calling both of them father?
I have a thought. I have a thought.
Okay. What's your thought?
Okay. All right. It's a little wild. I just am thinking of it right now. Okay. So you have Finrin, right, who is dad, and you have Adina, who is mom. They struggle to have a baby. They love each other so much, they're struggling. So who do they pray to? The gods. The gods don't answer. So who do they pray to instead? Or maybe they pray to the gods, and which god answers? Styx, the gods of shadow, answers, gives them a baby. That baby is Kingfisher. That is now a shadow baby. Finrin is real. Finrin was truly sent to Zilvarin by Bellicon. He truly took Carrion with him. He set up all the things. He died over there. Or maybe he's alive over there. I don't really know. But maybe Adina was blessed by the gods, Styx, the god of shadows, with a baby.
So Kingfisher's Jesus is what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm like, this story seems very familiar.
You're like,
but wouldn't that make sense?
Yeah. Or did they pray to the demon gods? And Styx was like, here you go.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, they prayed to some, maybe they prayed, if Styx is a demon god, which we don't know for sure that he is, let's say that he is, right? And they pray to the regular gods and the regular gods don't answer. So then they pray to the other gods, or they pray to the regular gods. They're not answering, and a demon god shows up and is like, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we want a baby. We're struggling to have a baby and we want one. And wow. They're like, I've got you. Let me give you this baby, Kingfisher. I like that theory. I think that might be the one I stick with.
Makes a clip out of this and emails it to Callie Hart.
Yes. Can you reply back with a symbol for yes and symbol for no?
Can you make one if it's right?
Yeah, some sort of emoji if this is correct. Is Kingfisher Kaidan Gray Star Finvara Jesus?
That's it.
Yes, I want this theory posted immediately.
Or okay, I mean, what if she pulls a Star Wars moment? You know, Luke, I am your father.
But who is it? Who would be the father?
I don't know.
Oh, I was like, is there a third man?
No, I just am thinking of her loving Star Wars and this being some big trope thing.
That's fair.
Finding out who the dad is.
That's true. Yes.
All right.
So another Hazrex full circle moment with silver rimmed eyes. Again, this is what Fisher has when he came out of the Icky portal. Mm-hmm. That is where it says it twice. Now, another question for what happened is, so Bellicon got beheaded. We know that. How the fuck did that get back on there? Did someone put it on there and then it just healed? Did it have to like roll? Did you have to like roll his body over?
Arias is dead, yes.
Yep. Mm. By Kingfisher Shadows.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. I think he like had to slug his body over.
Probably.
And be like, come on, get over here. No, yeah. That's the wrong way.
Yeah.
Can I get a bonus chapter from Bellicon's point of view of getting his head back on his body, please?
Laying there at the end.
And then here's another question that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Fisher knows a lot. He knows what witch's marks are. He knows how to know a spell from magic. He knows lots of things. How does he not know what magic Bellicon has? He's like, whatever dark magic runs through his veins, what is it? And he knew that it would still save him, that he wouldn't die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you not know?
I wonder if, I mean, Fisher's old, right? But like, he's not as old as Bellicon. Does Bellicon have that weird old magic? Like the Hazrax.
Maybe. I also think that like, I think the demon gods are very involved. So maybe Bellicon like made a deal with them to become more powerful. Mm-hmm. And Fisher just doesn't know what that deal is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's natural power.
That's fair.
So chapter 48, that sums it up. Chapter 49, though, Bellicon lay somewhere without a head, but not for long. Onyx is resuscitated and the Hazrax is still a fucking mystery. First question, why did her rune sparkle and or shimmer and no one else saw it? This is the rune that the Hazrex gave her. It was like sparkling and shimmery and no one saw it. She's like, did you guys see that? And they're like, no, I didn't see anything. What? What does this mean?
I feel like it's a secret rune. Like, can everybody see the rune when it's on there?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know if anyone noted it, like seeing it and or not seeing it. We just know that Saris knows and saw it. So I am unsure of that answer. So I don't know. So another interesting thing about the Hazrax is she knows. She says its coal black eyes were bottomless voids with its slitted nose and gills at its neck and its hairless waxen skin. It looked like the kind of creature that lived in the deep, inky waters at the bottom of the ocean. I had seen something very similar to it in one of Foley's books. Do you think that means anything? Like the description of him? And she's like, oh, I might have saw that in a textbook. I think he's too old to be in a textbook. But also, maybe he's somewhat from the water fae.
Or is he using a body that he found?
Could be using a body that he found as well. Yes, that is a fair, accurate guess as well. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he can see dead people.
So can my dad.
That's weird as fuck.
That's dad's running joke.
That would be your dad's running
joke. Every Halloween he wears a shirt that says, I see dead people. Why?
And you only get because it if you know what your dad does.
Because he's a mortician.
Anyways. Gosh. Okay. Another fun full circle moment that we have here. So do you remember back when I was telling about Lorth and his power? Mm-hmm. That it smelled like ozone. Guess whose power also smells like ozone? It says, easy, Saris, Fisher warned. It's more powerful, it being the Hazrax, than the two of us put together. Can't you feel it? And she's like, I felt it. The Hazrax's power flooded the air with electricity and the distinct scent of ozone. Why do they smell the same?
That's a good question.
They smell.
That's a good question. I don't have the
answer.
And
then why does he ask this question? The question the Hazrax wants to know is, what does it feel like to lose something that you love so dearly?
Because he doesn't have feelings. I don't know.
I don't know.
Has he ever cared about anything in life?
Probably not. I don't know. Kills me. And I've now, looking back, rereading this, feel like this was like a sign as well. When the Hazrek's talking to Fisher, he's like, speak to her, child of shadow. Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a red. That was a flag. We missed it.
We read right over that.
We sure did. God damn it. Yeah. And then obviously Onyx does what he does.
Yeah. We say goodbye and we say hello.
He sacrifices himself.
He sacrifices himself.
No.
Ron, no.
Not me.
That's it.
Not Hermione. Yo.
Oh. That's it, though.
Chapter 50. Here we go.
Okay, this chapter is called Night. Not like nighttime, like knight in shining armor. Just
knighthood.
Just in case you needed to know. Ren is alive. Praise the Lord. And then we travel to hell. The end.
The end. One note that I didn't realize is I think we had talked about this as well, like, and I think we read over it the first time, is that the Stargazers are still out there. They're not the same ones that Adina had in the library that made up the book, but they are still out there. And they're also known as Kingfishers, which is like super full circle. So they're Stargazers, also known as Kingfishers, can be found in abundance from the Galarian Mountains all the way down to the coastal cities in Myrinith, Bodish, and Innishtar. Many individuals among the Fae, Selkies, Elemental Sprites, and Satyr populations consider the Stargazers a symbol of hope. And that is an excerpt from The Fae Creatures of the Galarian Mountains, a missing tome from the Royal Libraries in the Winter Palace. Now, the title of that is interesting to me because it says a missing tome from the Royal Libraries in the Winter Palace. Where's that tome? Where's the rest of it?
That's a good question.
I don't know. And again, a little bit more Hazrek's lore. So, and these are full circle moments. So I talked about that I don't think he's fully there. What it says is the Hazrek's watched us flee, the shape of it smudged around the edges as if it were only half there. So he can teleport or move, or he's not really there, or he's a hologram of some sort, a magic hologram.
Projection,
I don't know.
Magic.
Yes, yeah. Something. Something wild. And then also the question is, how did Bellicon find them so quickly at Agin? Not only did he have to literally put his body back onto his head, vice versa, connect it, call his guards, and then send them off to where they were after they went through Shadowgate after Shadowgate after Shadowgate after Shadowgate. Mm-hmm. How did he find them? Does he have a link? I think he has some sort of link on Kingfisher Shadowgates, right? Because he literally took him out of one.
Maybe.
Is it like a magic tracker? Magic tracking device? I don't know.
I don't know.
Like a little magic AirPod? AirTag? Is that what they're called?
AirTag.
Not an AirPod. AirPod. Those are headphones.
He has one headphone. Kingfisher has the other.
It's like I can feel my headphone somewhere. So stupid. And we find Ren. Thank you. Ren is oathbound not one, but two times because of when they buried Morel in the Agin, like on the side of the mountain. He had joined the knighthoods who protect the gate. And it's not the regular gate. It's the other gate.
Yeah.
So I didn't know you could be oathbound two times. They like cancel each other out, but they don't. They are there. Yeah. And then we learn a little bit more about the Icky Portal, right? So we know that Loreth had told Saris about like the other gate, things like that. Like and it's the portal, the Icky Portal, it says it's like Quicksilver, but not. Mm-hmm. And we have some Icky Portal lore. I feel like that sounded weird, but I did say it right. Icky Portal shifts to protect not just the Agin, but all of Yvelia. So originally I had thought that maybe it was Quicksilver at one point of time and then was corrupted in some way. But then when it said, like, even the original alchemist couldn't control it, it tells me that it was always an Icky Portal.
Right. Yeah.
And it says, when the Quicksilver stilled here, cutting us off from other realms, a gate at Agin remained open. Bellicon declared it a sign because he said it was the only gate left open, blah, 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 for riches. And then obviously we learn that this is where Kingfisher was put into the pool as a little boy, which is really sad. And this chapter really got me, like, in the feelings. Yeah. Awful.
I want to read part of this because I had a thought and I might, it might go along with your theory that you came up with about Kingfisher being Jesus. But so Bellicon takes him to the gate, right? He was barely more than a boy. Bellicon puts a sword in his hand, declares that he should be the first to go through the gate and behold the paradise that waits for them on the other side. Since this pool is different from all the other pools, he said, I wouldn't need the relic my mom gave me, right? Mm-hmm. So he pushes him through this portal. Does Bellicon know
Okay, backtrack. Does Bellicon know that Styx is his real dad? Or does this adventure right here, this time that he spends going through the portal being on the other side, does that in some way, in some turn, end up making him Kingfisher's dad? Where is Finwen when all this is happening?
Finwen was already sent. Remember, before Adina died, Bellicon sent Finwen to Zavarin with Carrion.
So,
or then my something like that.
Right.
Even so then though my question Bellicon.
What's the timeline here? I guess one.
Yeah.
And two, there's the inconsistency again, right? Of, oh, yeah. I thought I killed his dad. Okay, no, wait, I'm sending him to his dad. I mean, I don't think Bellicon knows.
I don't think
that
he knew
his dad. But
yeah, I don't think he has any aware of that.
When Kingfisher goes through this portal and spends his time there, does he find out then that Styx is his dad?
He might. I feel like that would make sense.
There's too many unanswered questions about this.
There's so many unanswered questions. Yes. Yeah. It's wild, first of all. Like, I don't understand sometimes. So, no, I don't think Bellicon knows that is Kingfisher's dad. I like the idea that Kingfisher learned that was his dad when he went down there. I don't think it's, like, his, like, biological dad with Adina. I did originally because I was like, what if like they fell in love? But then I think that Finwen is a real person. I think that Finwen and Adina truly were in love.
Or
what?
Or is Finwen like a projection magic for Styx?
Maybe Styx wanted to find love, couldn't leave the realm, projected himself as a man, fell in love, gave some of his shadows. Because Finwen did have shadows, right? As far as Archer has told Kingfisher. So,
right. Are they the same person?
But right,
he
that's
has
the question.
Him in, right, he has him like he doesn't leave the realm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he's like physically there as well.
Yeah, he goes to
but
explore.
But he is one and the same. Which would then still make Kingfisher Jesus. Because his father is
still
one
Jesus.
And the same.
Yes, agreed.
Father, Son,
yes.
Holy Spirit.
Amen, Kingfisher.
His Holy Spirit is in the realm of hell and the Father is Finwen.
I love this. I like that idea, honestly, that like of the projection, like not being able to leave the realm, wanting to explore, falling in love with a woman, an oracle, right? Having a baby. But that doesn't explain necessarily him being forced to like go to Zilvarin.
It doesn't explain anything. Honestly.
You know, I love the idea, though, honestly. So also, where is Everlane? I thought that they would have like seen her or heard her or someone would have mentioned something about a blonde girl being there. But no one has said anything when they go into the portal. OK,
no.
Yeah, the portal opens. It's opened every day for a period of 3 hours. And each time new monsters are coming out and trying to like everyone's trying to escape. Which we knew that because Saris felt it back when the witch mark was connected to the gates. And it says it's a black gate. It had been corrupted a long, long time ago. It wanted Yvelia to burn, which makes me go back to my original theory that it was originally real Quicksilver and something corrupted it or converted it into something else, even before, prior to the original alchemists. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe they were designed or created to save the Icky Portal. And that's why the original alchemist showed up in the first place.
Maybe.
And the reason why it's like an original is because it has no stone basin to contain it. It says it's organic, like some sort of festering sore, and the rolling liquid inside it was black. And obviously we know that it's never been given a real name, but they call it Diaxis. And the dragons breathe there. Mm-hmm. But personally, Kingfisher's always called it hell.
Yeah. My only question is, who put it there? And is this the only one that goes to this world?
As far as anyone has ever mentioned, that's a great question, though. And that includes chapter 50. Chapter 51. Can we say it together?
For anybody that does follow, like, stuff with this book or Callie Hart, did you see her answer in an interview?
What?
Before Brimstone came out. Somebody asked, like, what's your favorite chapter of this new book that you have? And she goes, probably chapter 51.
The obvious.
Like, literally a 30-second
What a
chapter.
Good answer. If that, yeah.
It's
so,
not
yes,
even.
Chapter, so funny. Chapter 51, Kynan Greystar Finvarra.
You can't even get it right. It's one sentence.
It's a hard name. Okay. Hey, we're going to say it together. All right.
Okay.
Overall recap of this chapter. Chapter 51, the obvious. It is Greystar Finvarra.
God
damn it, Cassidy.
Fucking hates
dragons. He fucking hates them.
Kaiden and Grace Arvidvara fucking hates dragons. The end.
That's the whole chapter. Literally.
I have no theories for this chapter.
Me either.
Can you imagine if I was like, hold on, I have a thought.
We spend an hour on just this chapter.
Oh, yeah. All right. Chapter 52. Let's do this.
Chapter 52 is called Promises and Hope. The overall recap is dragons and brothers and fathers. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
That's it. Sums it up.
So we still don't know what is stuck to Ceres's body. And Fisher's like, oh, you don't want to know. Actually, we do want to know. Thank you very much. Is it like dragon poop? Like, what is this? Nobody knows what
from
it is.
From the portal?
Yes.
I don't
She's
know.
She's like, oh my God, what is this? And he's like, you don't want to know. I'm like, I do actually want to know. You obviously know, Kingfisher. I feel like I need to know. Stop withholding information. So one of the things on my bingo card was a big male dragon, right? We had Om Nom Shikrai. I knew in my heart that the dragons were going to come back. And I was like, that's so cool. Like, Anthony, you're going to be able to like voice another dragon in this book. Like, I talked to Anthony about it, right? But when you talk to Stella, who's the voice of Ceres, I never once was like, you're going to voice a lady dragon. No, a mama dragon was not on my fucking bingo card. And I cannot believe I missed that opportunity of like that guessing.
So I'm not into like Game of Thrones, so I might be wrong here. But the only other time that I can think of a female dragon is Shrek.
I can see that you haven't read Fourth Wing.
Nope. Haven't read Fourth Wing.
Everyone that's listening to this is like, Cassidy, there's a thing called Fourth Wing. That lady dragon's pretty scary.
You know what? At this point, I might not read it ever because it gets too much hype. And
the book one, fabulous. Fabulous.
And then I've heard terrible things about book three. So
I liked book three. Well, I don't know. I'm not doing that today. I don't have the brain power.
Anyways.
I am on chapter 52 right now. So yes.
Mama Dragon.
Mama Dragon not only is amazing, she knows all. She says, I hear the grinding and the gears that drive the universe towards destruction. I hear all. I know. And then he's like, I am Kaidan Greystar Finvara. I walked these halls many years ago, like little more. And she's like, little more than a failing you were then. You were tortured here. I remember. And can you imagine like a little 11-year-old, a little failing, tortured through the gates of hell, wild, and still survived?
Because he found his dad. Ooh,
I don't know. Something happened down there. Maybe that's where Styx became his dad. Maybe he wasn't his dad after all, like
that's
ever.
That's what I'm saying.
No. I take that back. I take it back. The reason why I take it back is because, again, Finrin had shadows. And Finrin and Adina fell in love and had Kingfisher. And he was gifted shadows. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Nope. That does not work. Styx has always been his dad. I stick to that.
Okay.
So, here's another one of the final full circle moments that we have. When Kingfisher's talking to Mama Dragon, he says, no, I come as an ambassador of my realm, as is my mate. We request an audience with Styx. Per the rules of engagement between our realms and etiquette. And you know who else fucking observes the rules of etiquette? The Hazrax. The Hazrax, Cassidy. He says, in some cultures, it is considered rude to talk business without first observing the rules of etiquette. Some small and meaningless exchange between strangers that helps them know each other better. Fucking Hazzy himself. I'm calling him Hazzy from now on.
I'm contemplating on making a comment that has nothing to do with this, but it has to do with
your... Why are you contemplating?
You said Hazzy, and I feel like you could call him Hazza, like an A at the end.
Like a little rapper. Hazza.
Hazza. That's what
it didn't seem
directioners used to call Harry back in the day. The Harry Styles during One Direction. And I just need to slip that in there because Harry Styles is coming back. He made a post after a very long time. Anyways.
He left? Where'd he go?
He's been on hiatus. Oh. He, like, stopped posting after Love on Tour. Stopped everything. Oh. He's just been out with girlfriends. And we were all like, hello, are you coming back? Are you going to make more
sugar,
music?
Hi.
And then he posted.
Oh, he's eating watermelon sugar. He's back.
So
I love it. Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, I will consider that. For now, his name is Hazzy.
Okay.
I don't know if I can. I'll try Hazza, but I don't know how I feel about it. I got to give it some thought. So the dragon is still speaking and she knows a couple things. She says, she's talking to Ceres. She says, you know nothing, name breaker. Your mind is too young to even know itself. And it's interesting that she already knows that Ceres is a name breaker, like before they even get there. So my question is, did the dragon know his real name this whole time, but also knew him as King Fisher when he first went down there?
Maybe.
Because it's not like Fisher knew that name. So it's not like he could give that name to anybody, right?
Right.
And she says that she is Arisian, keeper of the gate. And she has like spared them for one reason alone. Obviously, that's to like have King Fisher pay for his crimes of murdering her son. So not only is her a mama dragon, she is an upset mama dragon. So good luck. And then it's interesting because they're like talking about the realms, right? And we know that we don't say the demon realm in Yvelia. They're like, don't speak that name here. But then also in the demon realm, we don't speak Yvelia. She's like, don't speak that name here. Why?
Is she talking about Yvelia or Zilvarin?
She has to think Yvelia. I mean, I don't feel like Saris considers Zilvarin her home anymore. Like they're talking to them together, right? Kingfisher and Saris.
Right.
But so I feel like it's...
I can't think of a reason they wouldn't say Yvelia. Whereas like Zilvarin is this piece of spell work.
That's true. She could be talking about that. Interesting. You know? That's an interesting thought. Yeah. Final questions that I have is, why is Morel so pissed? So the blade was kicking out so much smoke that it almost drowned out the light cast by our torches. Girl is upset.
That's a good question.
I don't have an answer to that. I just need to know because she is mad. And we get another like full name of Styx. It says Styx, Lord of the Charred Eyry, King of Dragons. Not God of Shadows, though. Yeah. Tell you what, we didn't say that shit. Why didn't we not add that? Why did we not say God of Shadows?
A great question.
Why did we leave that out?
Are we back to being two separate people?
And it, in there, when they're talking about like King Fisher being charged with like a crime of murdering all these dragons, it says the undergods, plural of Dyaxis, will charge me with murder. So what other undergods are there? And again, are they the same as the demon gods?
That's I feel a like good they're the question. Same. Because what does Aerith call them?
I think he calls them undergods as well. But then it's mentioned. No, he says right. Other god, other or under, one of the two. But then someone else in the book earlier mentions demon gods.
Demon gods.
But are they the same? Or is right. there three sets of gods? Right. And then also, once again, as back in previous episodes, Kingfisher's tattoos are going wild. Mm-hmm. Like, they're swirling, and Sarah says they're forming shapes and geometric patterns that she didn't recognize. And they have done that every time we have come in contact in some sort of way here or there with the gate. So I wonder what that means as well. We meet Crave and Ginthrend, Fisher's little brothers?
Question mark.
Because he's like, he says, I've come to see our father, and we know that they're probably brothers. But they also don't know who he is, and he was there many years ago, so were they born after Kingfisher already came and went?
That's a good question, but they also...
So are they...
They have swords that look like his.
Yes, so the swords that are in there, this was really interesting. They all have the same looking swords. It says, Creep left out a bark of laughter, drawing his own sword that hung at his waist. It looked very similar to Nimirel from where I was kneeling. A little smaller, perhaps, less beautifully made. In short, the sword in Crave's hand was a very poor imitation of Nimirel. So it says, that sword could end worlds in the right hands. If it is what I think it is one of the forgotten blades of our ancestors, and you do not have the right to wield it. So this was really interesting because that tells us that it wasn't, doesn't it? One of our ancestors
it also
instead
says,
of our father?
A weapon from one of the dead houses.
And right, exactly.
Us to believe that the traitor gods gave it to him. So there are two sets of gods. I feel like that confirms it.
But is there three sets of gods?
Well,
there
has to be more than one.
The under gods.
Right.
Like Xerath, Baal, Mithin, all that seem like regular gods. And then you have like Styx, who is an under god. But then who are the demon gods? Or are they one and the same?
So this is what we talked about in the beginning, because Styx is introduced in book one with the rest of the regular gods.
Right. Yeah. So what do we do with that? It's forgotten gods.
Yeah.
So who are they, right? And then again, it's from a weapon from one of the dead houses, older than the halls of this kingdom and theirs combined. And he expects us to believe that the traitor gods gave it to him. So, which in my mind, when I'm looking through the eyes of like Crave and whatever his name was, Githrand, right? They don't know that Fisher is Styx's dad or Styx's son. Mm-hmm. They don't know that. So they're like, when he's like, it was a gift from the gods. I think that they assumed it was the other gods, like Xerath, of whatever other gods. I don't think that they would be like, our dad gave that to you. Or do you know what I mean? I think they assumed.
Well, and she says that the other ones that they hold look like a poor imitation similar of his. Yes. My question is, did they all have the same sword from Styx, but mm-hmm. when Morel went into it, that's what made it pretty or slightly different?
Different. That's very possible, but I don't know if it came from Styx. And here's why. It says the sword that could end worlds in the right hands, if it is what I think it is, it's one of the forgotten blades of our ancestors, which tells me that it's before Styx.
That's fair.
So I don't know what gods truly gave him this sword. I mean, we know Balin Mithin did.
Right.
Right?
But where did that come from?
That's exactly who gave him the sword. So how did they get the sword?
I don't know.
I feel like I'm crashing out right now. I'm literally crashing out. Okay, well, there we go. That's what I have it. I'm going to move on before I stress.
Yep.
So how did killing the emissary, who was Aerith, weaken Styx? Because it says, you killed our father's emissary too. You severed his only thread of power in Yvelia. You weakened him. Which I get how not having Aerith there might have weakened him, but like, did it really though? Mm. And like, how much did it weaken him? And if Algit is truly like a part of this realm, which we think that she might be or connected to it, she is there. She's not dead, as far as we know. Mm. And if
that's
it's
true,
if you severed his only thread of power in Yvelia, is what they said. Hmm. I don't know. Yeah, he worshipped under gods. So, yes, I don't know. Who the fuck are you? Where did this sword come from? What is happening? You know what? I need a good old bonus chapter given to me, gifted to me. Anyways, what they also say is that shadow magic doesn't belong in your realm. Where did you get this power? And he goes, the same place I got the sword. Which, back to the swords again for the final time. We know that the sword was a gift from Balin Mithin. They got it from somewhere, right? Because he says the shadow, like you got your shadow magic from the same place that you got the sword. But then they say, who are you? And he says, only half gods may wield shadows. Kaidan drew in a deep breath, ignoring the male's question. I've come for a dragon, as is my right. Summon our father. Tell him I've come to make a trade. But his offspring,
maybe. It's just a weird
maybe,
statement. I don't know.
It is a weird statement. But not all, right? Because when, like, Crave and them never showed any sign of having shadow power, right?
Because they're not half gods. They're not demigods.
But they're,
I wouldn't think,
Styx's sons as well.
But who else were they with? I mean, who else would he be with? How does Styx make children? The same way the rest of everybody else does? Or?
Yeah.
Or is
That's
it?
That's a great question.
Jesus. He just blesses them and then they become pregnant.
It's a child. And that sums it up. But I have some bonus chapter lore that I want to go over.
Okay.
All right. So before we end this and wrap this shit up. All right. Here we go. In the gate, part one and part two, it talks about Koryx. Now, we do not meet this character in this book or book one. And he's only mentioned for a hot ass minute. But what it says is that Koryx answered first. Amongst the Lupropoelia, they had the most experience with dragon kind. They had once trained to handle them back when it was still believed that the beast could be brought to heal. A lot had changed since then, of course. Most large drakes would be able to disgorge twice before they needed to refill their fire chambers. But this thing isn't just large, they said. They're talking about Omnom Shikrai because that's the biggest dragon. He's a monster. He's got three passes in him before he needs to set down, at least. I like to think that maybe we will see Koryx in book three and the entire Lupropoelia, Morel included in the sword, will be back together once again.
How's she going to resurrect all of them?
It never says what happened to Koryx. We do not know his fate. At all.
You said Morel, though.
Morel in the sword.
Oh,
in Fisher's hands. She's
going to
be there with the Lupropoelia, and then everybody else is going to show up. No, she's not going to be resurrected.
I was like,
I don't think they're bringing Morel back from the sword. No, no. So, yes. Okay, here is my theories for the final moment before we say goodbye to this episode. I think that Koryx is going to come back. I think the entire Lupropoelia is going to be together once again. Mm-hmm. I think the dragons will have to come out and they will have to lay brimstone down on the rot. I think that something is up with Madra. I think that either she has been taken over, something has happened, or she is truly as powerful as it says and what the book is telling us is accurate. But I feel like that's really not what's going to happen. I think mm-hmm. someone else is controlling something over on the other side of Zavarin because we don't see anything or know anything truly. I think that something is up with Hayden. I think he has a lot of red flags that I would like to know about. I think that we are going to see Elroy again. I think something is up with him as well. Mm-hmm. I think that Styx is a true god. I think that Finrin, I really like your theory. I like your theory that Finrin was like a projection of Styx and like they had a baby, honestly. I like that. I can't go with the Jesus idea because Finrin had shadows. If he didn't have shadows, then I would like I love the idea that like Styx like bless him with a baby. But I don't think that that's correct, to be honest with you. I like the idea that he projected himself somewhere else. I think the fucking Hazrax is wild. I don't have a set theory. I do think there will be sea fae people in the next book and sea dragons.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
I hope so.
I think Algit's going to be a big ass pain in the ass.
But I think they're going to need her.
They will need her.
And I think Fully is going to have to go find her and beg her to come back. Because I think he's the only person that's going to be able to get her to do it.
That's fair. I would like that.
They got to kill her and take her power or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
something
I wouldn't
crazy.
Put it past Callie to do that.
Yes.
How do you think Ceres is going to seal her brimstone rune?
She had to go into the Quicksilver to seal that rune, mm-hmm. right? It sucked, but then she gave it trust and it gave her trust and then it didn't hurt her. It healed it. I think she's going to have to go either into the brimstone or she's going to have to touch the brimstone or something because they said it's going to be painful. They said it's going to fucking suck. Either that or again, a dragon's going to let out some brimstone and she's going to have to put up a hand and like seal it some way. I think Ceres will ride a dragon.
It's looking that way coming up.
Yep. So many theories, so much lore, so many questions unanswered.
And none of them are answered. Yeah. I don't know how she's going to wrap this up.
We're literally less than a year away from the next book.
Thank God.
We will be covering it. Of course.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. Yes. We also have other episodes as well. So we're going to be interviewing some amazing authors this year. So make sure to check that out. And then we will be, hopefully, I say hopefully because these are pre-recorded and anything can happen, but hopefully we'll be talking to our friends Anthony and Stella again, and maybe or maybe not Callie Hart herself. Mm-hmm. So make sure to check out our Quicksilver episodes if you haven't seen those yet. Hopefully you already have. Thank you for joining us on The Goodish Girls. Again, my name is Dallas.
And I'm Cass.
And we'll see you later.
Bye.